Oh, that's right. Pretty Woman, that's what the song is right now. Oh, I don't know if Andy plays that for me, but it sure gives me a boost in the afternoon. How you doing, everybody? I'm Ann Eller right here with the bigger, bolder, better man, Jim Medford. And I'm here with Karen Petty, which is, of course, been working with the Humane Society. God, how many years has it been now, Karen?
112.
God, you've aged well, darling.
Thank you very much. Now, it's been 1998. Do the math.
1998. 15, 17 years.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm only 27.
Wow. Started young, did you?
That's why I look like I do.
That's right. So, you know, today we're going to be talking about the potential for a new humane society, animal shelter that the Humane Society will run. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is so often I think we are, the public, confused. Because
yes.
There is an Annie on more categories than just the one we're going to be talking about. But when we talk about the animal shelter, we talk about the Humane Society. I think basically people think the Humane Society, oh, that's the place out there behind the, I say the sign at the Civic Center now, since
right.
The Civic Center's
right.
gone.
Right.
And Karen, it's not really that way, is it?
No, and I agree. I think a lot of people are confused, and the Humane Society is actually the contracted company, if you will, organization to run the county shelter. And in the past, we had our own little adoption center and, of course, the spay-neuter clinic. And as things evolved, we were invited to operate the county shelter. They took over, they adopted the adoption center, and it all became part of the purview of Greenwood County.
Why were they always right there beside each other? I mean, I just thought, because they were already out there.
Mr. Catwolf, way back, if you want to go way back into historical.
No, but I mean just the Humane Society and the animal shelter mm-hmm. side by side. You know, why were they like that?
Well, it made sense to have the spay-neuter clinic there because we also handled the shelter animals to be spayed and neutered before they went to be adopted. And then we were also encouraging and helping the adoptions out of that center there on behalf of the county. And so it was a really great little partnership. We were there to kind of encourage them on and help. And we provided supplies as well.
Okay. And then as time went on?
As time went on, we were contacted back in 2002 asking if we would operate the shelter on their behalf. And the board voted to, in fact, do that. And we've been doing that ever since. So it's still the county shelter. We've been hired to operate it, take care of the animals, promote adoptions, and do everything that they would do if they were running it. But the great thing is because we're nonprofit, we have an opportunity to really go out and get the community involved by giving donations, recruit volunteers, versus what a municipality might not be able to do, and they have certain limitations. They can receive donations, but if people want to get a tax write-off, they're not going to be able to do that.
Sure. So when it comes down to donations, what kind of donations does the Humane Society get?
A lot of food.
A lot of food.
We got about $80,000 in in-kind donations last year that were funneled over and then, you know, technically given over to the shelter for our use. Because we're operating it, why wouldn't we use the supplies that we received to help us offset the cost for the county? Otherwise, those would be items the county would need to purchase with cash.
Sure. And I guess one of your big donators is SPF, isn't it?
They do help a lot. They do. We have a relationship with a company called the Rescue Bank, and they came out of Hurricane Katrina when there was an obvious need of pet food for shelters in that area, which we now have lived through a very similar situation in our own state. And so we partner with them, and we get a lot of free food from them out of Tillman, which is down near Bluffton.
Okay. So when we talk about $80,000 in kind donations, I guess there's probably monetary donations too.
On top of that, correct,
right.
Yeah. And the number in my head, I wish I had that for you now. We just had a meeting and the $80,000 stood out. But we also contribute cash as well as management services, my time, other staff time that are under the Humane Society umbrella. We help the shelter. You know, the majority of my time, frankly, is going towards the shelter, but they're not having to pay for that. So there's a lot of in-kind and Karen as well.
In-kind and Karen. But are you a county employee?
No.
You're not paid by the county?
No. I'm paid by the Humane Society. All the employees are paid by the Humane Society.
But is that coming from through the county, though?
The people that work at the shelter.
Right.
Yeah, the adoption counselors, the animal care staff, the shelter manager, the rescue coordinator, all of those folks are being paid by the county because the money that we're writing the checks from mm-hmm. are coming from that. I am not spay neuter manager, and we're down on staff right now, so sadly there's not too many people I can report or working for the Humane Society part, but we're working on getting an educator probably next week.
If I may, Anne, knowing the financial statements, because that's the world I live in,
This is Jim Medford now speaking, the advisor.
The advisor.
The advisor, yes.
The man behind the curtains, I guess.
Does that mean you're a wizard? Do not pay any attention to the man.
I said that because you had your ruby red slippers on today, Dorothy.
Yes.
But it cost in real dollars and cents, if you converted all the in-kind and the volunteer labor and the support that the staff that is not county employees provide, it cost over $600,000, almost $700,000 to run the shelter. The county gives the Humane Society a flat sum of $400,000 to run it. So where does the balance come from? The $300,000 comes from the Humane Society helping to financially support the county animal shelter. And that's done through in-kind donations, mm-hmm. Food, and your show here and what Sharp Facets does with Gracie Gives Back is huge because, you know, with the difficult situations that the current construction of the shelter is, because it was built in 1959, and when winter comes, and we've had some tough winters these last 2 years, sure. and we need to get all the blankets in, those are all donated. Those are not counted in the dollars because, I mean, how do you put a price tag on how many blankets come in? This past summer, when it was over 100 degrees for 10 mm-hmm. solid days, there was Karen called me at home on a Sunday afternoon and basically in tears and concern, rightly so, because there was some heat stroke starting to take place with some of the dogs held outside. So we came over and we're buying fans and we're putting little swimming pools out there. And Town and Country, I will say this, a big shout out to them. Calhoun Mays, I called him. He had a crew right out there Monday morning to help put tarps and tenting over the shelters and help also hook up some additional fans and sprayers. So all these things that happen there to keep what's going on is not covered in a $400,000 lump sum. And I think it's really important for the listening audience to really understand this is a collaboration and a partnership. This is not a Humane Society animal shelter. It's a Humane Society working diligently to maintain the shelter, but the county owns the shelter, all the properties, and is responsible for all of its upkeep. But in the real world, when things happen, it's up to, you know, the Humane Society is the one that's first to step up to take care of these challenges.
Is this like a first responder?
Yes, we
there
are.
There you go.
We're beyond the first responder.
Okay.
And as speaking of that, with all this rain we had, mm-hmm. who was out there putting sandbags down to protect, you know, because these are, the shelter sits in a low-lying area that's flat. These kennel runs are flat with the ground all outdoors. So we had to put sandbags all around the pens to mm-hmm. keep the water out.
Well,
so
and I have to give a shout-out to the county there. Rossi yes. was the one that – but this is the first year ever, and when she calls and says, do you need sandbags? I'm like, oh, my gosh, yes, thank you so much, because it was – who knew, really? I mean, we didn't really have an idea, and I'm just so grateful. And it did a lot of good, but thankfully we didn't have near what we potentially could have had
sure.
if we didn't have any
oh,
kind
sure.
of protect. But the cats of all species – are the ones that get the water that come through, you know, because they love water so much.
Right. Yeah, well, they had 1,000 sandbags sent up here from Columbia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, that's where the sandbags actually came from.
Well, it was wonderful. And so now we have them at our access, too, which is great.
Sure.
So we have them forevermore.
Well, and I want to say what a great job Rossi does as the county engineer because, I mean, that weekend I spoke to her a couple times just because I know her. Just to thank her because she had to do all the calculations in her team on the lake and the dam and all the other the barricades that they ran out of for all the flooded streets.
Oh, sure.
She was driving around all weekend checking all the government buildings that they're responsible for to make issue. And for her to have the thought process about the sandbags for the animal shelter says a lot. And she's on our committee on this new shelter. So she is passionate and intimately involved. And we can never thank her enough for her spirit and thoughts in this arena.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think people, of course, are hearing about the new potential for the new shelter, and people are excited about it. But then on the other hand, there is a question on costs and how much it's going to cost. And anytime you look at spending money, you know, people get a little nervous.
Sure.
And so I guess the figures, I know originally it was supposed to be like $3.1 million or something. And then I understand that Humane Society decided they would pay for their portion, and that leaves now roughly $2 million or whatever the final figure will be. But when we move the place out to the Burton Center there, what are we thinking? We're thinking we'll have a facility that has everything we could ever need?
Let me speak to that. This project has gone on for 2 years. So this is not just, let's build a new shelter and boom.
Actually, I think it's gone on longer than that.
Well,
the Wizard became involved 2 years ago. Okay. We're actually moving in the right direction.
The traction that we're doing to get it done has been for the 2 years.
Sure.
But obviously it's gone on a lot longer, but it wasn't gaining traction. It wasn't getting anywhere. So here's the process, because I had a manufacturing business, so I'm very process-driven. And I will tell you, I want to make sure that money, whatever is invested in, whether it's me personally or whether it's a nonprofit that I work with, or especially when it's public tax dollars, is being spent extremely efficiently and smartly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the premise that we started on this journey 2 years ago. We've toured countless shelters throughout the state. We've looked at best practices. We've looked at different business models that are strictly county run, strictly nonprofit run, strictly collaboration like we have here in Greenwood with the Humane Society being a nonprofit and the county working together. We've looked at all different types of structures set up as far as services provided. We've looked at material costs and what's the best design and what's the most efficient flow. So we have been very process driven all along for 2 solid years studying this.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, the county agreed to hire an architectural firm, a local firm, Heener Corporation, and then they subcontracted with Rauhaus, which is a internationally known architectural design firm that has built over 100 animal shelters in the United States and close to 500 worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of know what they're doing.
Right.
So we've been working with this group, along with our committee, which, by the way, is made up of at the time, it was Steve Brown. Now it's Chairman Steve Brown of the County Council. It was Robbie Templeton.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it was Mr. Bob Fisher, until at some point it was quite obvious that he was not wanting to see anything being done. And it became more of a distraction than a benefit for the whole committee. So the County Council members decided to take their own person off, and he was replaced with Toby Chapel, our county manager, and Rossi Corwin, our engineer for the county. So there's 4 people from the county full-time on this committee. I chair the committee. I was asked by the county to do that, and I also am an advisor, as you know, to the Humane Society, to Karen as the director, and to the board. And then I brought in 2 outside independent people. Bob Brewer, who is a former federal employee from D.C. that overseen the operations of major government installations in Washington.
Oh, well, now we're out of here. He's a major government guy. I don't know here, Jim.
He will wear you out with details and specs, I will tell you that.
Go ahead and take a sip of water there, Jim, so you can keep talking. But you're talking a government guy
here. I do get cuff up when I'm talking about the federal government, I must say. But
okay.
It does catch in my throat. But he is a very, very, he lives out at Stony Point. I've worked with him on a couple of other projects. He's a very, very detailed, very knowledgeable individual for operations. And then we brought in Tom
Woodruff
from Grand Harbor, who lives out in Grand Harbor. He's a retired architect that also designed animal care facilities. So the two independents we have come with a very, very strong knowledge base in specific areas that were important for this project. So as we unfolded this, I can tell you that the original plans for the shelter came in a much larger and a much higher price tag than where we are today. The time lag that it's been taken from the start of this to where we are today has literally been our committee keep paring it down to reach to a point that we felt was as far as it can be taken and not have a grand opening one day and a, oops, we have a problem day two.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that we did, and I saw this early on, is I had approached, again, because I'm the independent seat, if you will. I have to represent the county's best interest, which I do at all times. But I also have to represent the interests of the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm. I see, says the inspector.
So having said that, I saw that to get to a number that made fiscal sense, that the Humane Society had to step up to the plate, too. If this is going to be a true collaboration, it needs to be that. So I encouraged the board of the Humane Society and Karen to consider what aspects fit the mission of the Humane Society that maybe we need to fund and build,
mm-hmm.
and that the county shelter, the shelter operations that are truly shelter operations, be what the county funds to build.
Mm-hmm.
So having done that, the Humane Society board stepped up immediately, and we don't have the money to do it. We're out. We're going to have to raise this money, and we may also have to incur some debt to do it. But
does the words dog and pony show
come to mind? Yes, yes.
I've
been riding that pony with my little dog running beside me for some time now, Ann.
Well, I just was thinking, you know, be creative, Jim, here.
We had a
Wagoween's coming right up.
Yeah, I had to jump outside that box with the thinking through this for 2 years. This has been quite the journey. I mean, Karen can attest to it. We both get misty-eyed at times because we put our heart and souls in this, as did the county people involved. So the Humane Society has approved unanimously by their board to build the adoption center, the spay and neuter clinic, and the community room. And I'm going to talk about the importance of that community room further in a moment. Leaving strictly the shelter, the runs, basically the storage space for the animals that come in, and work. Food storage space and
well, the animal control function is also centered there at the county shelter,
right?
Which is there's a hubbub of activity with that.
Sure.
So they have their own Sally Port that they park their truck and bring animals in and whatnot. So when the smoke settles, we're going out. We're putting the specifications down. We have a design. The county council approved 6-1 to take it to the next stage in the design phase. The one person that you know, is not supportive of this in any form or fashion. And then when we got approved to take it all the way out to bid, it narrowed to roughly 5-2. The paper says 4-2, but Chuck Motes was absent that day, and he's publicly said that he supports this initiative, so we could call it 5-2. So we're putting the specs together to do that now, to go out to bid. I will say this to you, too. I had been approached by a local major contractor that has done work out at the animal shelter, has done work for the county, has a lot of, you know, is very respected, has made an offer to build this at their cost. So it still is a county project, so we'll have to go out for bid, but our bid sheets now will be able to say that we have a offer in kind, and so what is your bid plus any other offers in kind that you might have? So we've looked at what the average cost per square feet.
How many square feet is this?
It's 17,000.
My God, that's huge.
It's actually smaller than what we have today.
Smaller what you have, a footprint, when you put all the buildings together?
Is a lot smaller than the footprint that we have today.
Can I move in out there?
You and I might be living out there, Ann.
The bonding room.
The doghouse. The bonding room. Get me out of here, folks.
We'll be in the puppy bonding room together, Ann. But anyway, it is 17,000 square feet, with 10,000 being the county shelter, which is the exact same size as the current facility
today.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then the balance of the 7,000 square feet is the Humane Society funded portion. So I think it's important to say that what the county's portion is the exact same size as what they currently have today at roughly 10,000 square feet.
Now, just out of curiosity, we need to, why couldn't you, for example, bulldoze all the buildings down where you're at and rebuild right there?
Well, this is where strategic thinking by our county council, I'm so impressed with our county council. I really am. They get it. They see what the big picture is. As you know, the current location sits behind where the Civic Center mm-hmm. once sat. And the Civic Center is no longer with us.
And, but the sign is.
But the sign's still there.
And we're glad it is.
Because that's how we know how to get back to the shelter.
And that's how we tell people where things are.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
okay.
Right. But, you know, that land is going to be repurposed at some point in time. And so there's a lot of thought that's going on with the county council and some interested groups that they've approached to get input for. And to repurpose that land would also require getting, you know, because the other things that's out there is all the sports fields mm-hmm. for athletics.
Right. Exactly.
So here we have this, you know, 1959, 1960 constructed animal, whatever, I wouldn't even call it an animal shelter. It's a place to hold animals currently. Out there with the baseball fields and everything else going on. So is the strategic thought of what's best to do for that space to enhance quality of life in Greenwood, it probably doesn't make sense that the shelter stay there.
Okay.
So to bulldoze it down there or to build around it, probably is not the best strategic thought long term because of what else is out there in that land and that
and
use
of
land.
And what the future
could
that
hold,
they're looking at.
Could hold for right. that.
So you got property donated out there at the Burton Center, next to the Burton Center.
2 years ago, on the way to the state of the county, state of the city, I drove by the Burton Center, and on, I think, really, a spirit grabbed my car wheel, and I turned into the Burton Center, because there's the equestrian center.
Right.
And I pulled in, had no appointment, no thoughts, no nothing, and Jimmy Burton happened to be in. So I walked in to see Jimmy. We're both in suits, because we're both getting ready to go to state of the city, state of the county. And I said, Jimmy, I said, would you ever consider some donating some land like mm-hmm. the equestrian center for the animal shelter? And he said, wow. He said, hold on a minute. So he goes and gets his map plat of the Burton Center complex, and they have a lot of acreage out there. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, this space, right, you know, so if you're facing the Burton Center, you got the equestrian center on the right side, the entrance road to the Burton Center is in the middle. This would actually be on the other side of that entrance mm-hmm. road, and he had plenty of acreage, and he said, you know, I can't say yes myself. I have a board I have to take this to, but he said, Jim, I said, you know, the symmetry of this, because the clients, their customers, their associates, because they, you know, that are there, get a lot of therapy from interfacing with animals, hippotherapy. So that's the reason why the equestrian center, well, you can imagine large horses don't always, you know, appeal to everybody because of their size.
This could be a win-win as far as that goes.
Yeah, so we both got misty-eyed thinking about the symmetry of life that this could be.
Right.
And he built a beautiful nature walk trail in the back of the Burton Center. And can you imagine being able to take your dog? So the pets, the dogs, and the cats would benefit by that interface, but so would the clients. So it's a win-win for two-legged and four-legged living beings. So,
but how much does it going to cost? You know, that's what everybody's always interested in anymore. How much, like, you've got to redo the property and everything, and are you going to have hookups and, you know, all that kind of stuff?
That's the amazing thing to this.
Okay.
Anne. So let's talk about utilities, because that's an ongoing cost, and the hookups for those. Jimmy, being an unbelievable human being, I will tell you, he is my idol, really, as far as a caring, giving, big-hearted person to do anything in the world for anybody. Mm-hmm. I say that with all the emotion and passion I can have. I love you, Jimmy Burton.
He just kissed the mic, folks, but, you know, don't pay any attention.
But anyway,
to the man behind the curtain.
He's allowing us to hook up to the sewer system, so all we have to do is a tap into the sewer line that's already out there. There are freshwater wells that are out there at Kemet, and that were there when it was Kemet, which, by the way, Jimmy Burton used to be the general manager and plant manager of that Kemet plant.
Well, so, they had some of the finest water because of what they built out there, and that's some of the finest water, even better than Silicon Valley. So, I don't know if y'all knew that, but yeah, they sure do.
That flowed here in Greenwood?
Yes,
in the natural wells that they have at the Burton Center.
Wow. Yeah.
So, we're going to be able to, he's going to allow us to tap into those wells, because water, as far as wash down and be able to put water out at no cost because it's coming from natural wells, saves a heck of a lot of money. So, we're saving on sewer. We're potentially saving at least on wash down water.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because of along 221, Duke Energy with the power source, we're working and talking with Theo Lane to see what Duke Energy can do for a project similar to this. And so really from a access to utilities, but access to infrastructure utilities that are already in place makes this the most cost-effective piece of land that we could ever find in all of Greenwood County.
So I guess what you're kind of trying to say is that the water is not going to be an issue when we talk about ongoing costs once the facility is built.
There may be some water because we got to make sure that the wells are the potable portion of that for, you know,
drinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But definitely for washdown, which is where the majority of the water goes.
Right. And as far as you're saying that with Duke Power, you're going to be able to get some concessions?
I'm saying that Duke Energy and definitely Theo Lane as our local representative, they are such a willing and thoughtful strategic provider.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just because of this, but other things that they do. There are programs that they have that I think we will qualify for.
Oh, okay. All right. So now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk about some other issues. If you have a question, don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right. Well, I hope you're enjoying this. We're certainly getting a lot of information this afternoon on the Humane Society, the animal shelter, who has contributed, who's working behind the curtain to get the deals done and find the dollars to make this happen. We've got about 10,000 square feet that is going to be for the animal shelter itself. And then we will have the balance, I guess, 6,000-7,000 square feet for the Humane Society.
Right. Now
7,000. Now I've seen the drawings. They are hooked together as one building.
That's correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. And well, real quick, we don't need to really talk because you guys have to raise the money for it. Now, just out of curiosity, Jim, will this be built at the same time?
Yes. Here's what we looked at, Ann. The most cost-effective way for both the Humane Society and the county is to have it one building under one roof.
Okay.
And we have designed the building as such that there's a clear separation between the two operations. So if any time, God forbid, for either side, that it doesn't make sense for the collaboration to continue, the building is pretty much divided internally so that there would be separate entrances and they can each go their separate way,
okay,
if you will. But they need to be next to each other anyway because it makes so much sense.
Sure.
And so that saves a tremendous amount of cost for both sides. What else are we going down?
I would mention
the multi-purpose room and what we recently figured would be even more meaningful to have in light of the recent floods.
Yes, we were approached by our emergency director in Greenwood County right after the storm because I think they're doing some...
George McKinney?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. McKinney approached the Humane Society or shelter contract group. All of us are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a very thorough post recap of the storm to see what safety, you know, what in the future.
They're doing a mitigation report.
That's
in
correct.
In fact, they were doing that today.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we were part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they wanted to know is what space do we have if we have to bring in, you know, several 30, 40 animals at one time that are, you know, flood victims,
right,
just like humans. And one of the things that they showed a keen interest in is the design of the new shelter,
mm-hmm,
of which the community room that the Humane Society is building, mm-hmm, is built to offer flex space to put temporary housing when, in case,
sure,
there's a hoarding case or a natural disaster, whatever the case may be. Everything else, from the number of kennels to the square footage for the county, is exactly the same as what we already have. We're not building a Taj Mahal. We're not building extra space for anything that's not necessary. The only extra space that's being added is what the Humane Society is paying for. That's a spay and neuter clinic to attack this problem at its root cause, and that problem is overpopulation of animals, and a community room that can be used for education and to encourage the public to come out for kids' birthday parties, to have their birthday party there, or whatever the case may be. But for education of the community, or for the community to use the space, but really for flex space for times like we just experienced.
Sure, sure. No, I think that's great. So of that 7,000 square feet, you're going to have you're going to have a spay-neuter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will that be staffed all to be able to do spay-neuter all the time, or how are you going to have a vet on hand, or what's kind of the plan there?
Yes, absolutely. We want to get back to how we used to run, where you
right.
had, in fact, we will be offering more days during the week, so our TNR program, our trap, neuter, return, can go to the fullest possibility out there, and of course, encouraging the folks to come in locally and get their pets done who may not want to use the transport that we offer today. So it's going to be a huge, huge help, like Jim said, to attack the root problem, which is overpopulation.
Just out of curiosity, just because that's something just popped into my brain. Have you had less response from people because they had to be transported than when you used to have the spay-neuter clinic?
At first, yes. And we've been doing this for over 2 years. Here in the last year and a half or so, I think people realize it's more important to get it done.
Right.
And there hasn't been a problem at all. The thing that's a drawback is we can't offer it frequently. It's about 2 to 3 times a month, and that's it. So to really make a dent... That's not the way to do it, but it's at least providing services at a low cost where people can afford it who wouldn't be able to otherwise. So they don't get it done.
Sure.
And this is one part of the model that we studied very, very thoroughly. Because, again, in my process driven is, you know, we can build a new shelter and do all that and feel good about it. But if we don't change the cycle of 4,500 animals a year coming through that shelter, if we don't figure out how to reduce that number, it doesn't matter what we do. So we need the spay and neuter. When the spay and neuter clinic was operating in Greenwood, they were doing over 2,000 animals a year. Do you know how many pets, future pets that take off of litters of dogs or cats?
I mean, absolutely. And that's why I asked, was there a downturn in number of getting spay
and
neuter?
And the answer is absolutely, because now they have to load them in a van and drive them to Spartanburg, and can only do it two or three times a month versus a spay and neuter clinic opened up 5 days a week, 51 weeks out of the year. And it's going to be staffed with a full-time vet. We're going to be partnering with Piedmont Tech's Vet Tech program. I mean, there's so many synergies here where we'll have vet techs that will be working through their programming through Piedmont Tech to work there along with the vet. And what's important, because even if, and our costing of this is going to be very competitive, you know, a lot less than what it takes to go out to get it done, you know, elsewhere. And the other thing, even when it's reduced cost significantly, there's still families that can't afford to do that.
That's why Gracie had the scholarship program.
That's correct.
Because she's so progressive.
She is.
Gracie.
But what we're going to do is develop a voucher system that the Humane Society is going to fund, a voucher system for families that qualify to be able to come in and get a free spay and neutering clinic.
And whose idea kind of was that,
Gracie?
Jim? Gracie. That's right. Yeah. Gracie came up
with that idea.
Where
is Gracie today?
Yeah, she's resting in the back.
She's in her think tank.
Yeah, she's in her think tank. Yes. So I suppose this is a good time to announce what Gracie wants to do futuristically.
Wow. What is that?
Well, Gracie has been thinking hard and fast on how she could contribute to the Humane Society.
Wow.
And she has decided that she wants to have a closet out there at the Humane Society, and it's to be called Gracie's Closet.
Wow.
And we will make sure that it is stuffed with stuff for dogs and maybe some cats, but, you know, she's very pro-dog, but baskets and dog treats and toys and leashes and all this kind of stuff.
Awesome.
And Gracie's Closet. What do you think?
I'm glad Gracie is wanting to have a closet. And what a thoughtful gesture that Gracie has, along with her mother, here at beautiful Sharp Facets in this radio station. You guys have been very, very supportive over the years of the Humane Society, and it means a whole lot. It really does.
We try to get the word out all the time.
Yes, you do. And thank God, there's, you know, when you look at this, this can be a sensitive topic, you know, as far as spending money, as you said. But, you know, when it comes to something like this, there is going to be a group that is very passionate about it.
Sure.
And there's a group that it might be somewhat in the middle. And then there's a group that we don't care, we don't want to do anything to support this project or initiative. What I've been able to find, and I can do it scientifically, the amount of people that want to see this project move forward is probably 15 to 1. Of those that do not want to do anything. So I think the majority of Greenwood County wants this to happen. It's so far overdue. It's been promised for so long. And we're now at the one-yard line at the Clemson National Championship game. To get that final score to win the game is where we're at with this project right now.
Now, since we're talking a little money here, okay, we've talked about that. As far as the funding for this, I think if I remember correctly, Karen, the county had put aside $500,000 originally, And I presume that you have spent some of that money getting plans and stuff done?
We have spent a little bit of money for that. Actually, the money that's been spent, I believe there's roughly $440,000 or $450,000. The sad thing is roughly $40,000 of that has been spent on Band-Aids to take care of repairs for a decrepit facility that we already have.
Mm-hmm.
So we're spending good money after bad right now. So
sure, but I mean, that's already set aside.
Right.
So, and do you have any idea? Has the county agreed that they are going to fund this? Is this, you know, there's the talk of the penny sales tax now. There's talk of all these type of things. How will the funding, do you have any idea, Jim, how the funding's going to come for that?
I'm going to leave that up to the council to decide that. I think they have revenue stream options, whether it be budgetary reserves.
It's called tax.
No.
Tax.
It's not called tax. I think.
What's it called, Jim?
Well, I think it's tax. Well, there's two taxes. Taxes that have already been paid, mm-hmm. that have gone into reserves or a previous capital sales tax project that, you know, is wrapping up.
Oh, the $21 million for the dam?
Yeah, and there may be, you know, some money left over from that would adequately fund this. I can't speak for the county council. You know, when you look at this, again, we have roughly, let's call it $400,000 just to be safe. And we're looking at, again, this is my feel for what the cost structure may be. I would be surprised, Ann, if we're not looking at somewhere in the 1.5 neighborhood. So that means we're looking at roughly $1 million, $1.1 million in extra incremental funding. That $500,000 was always just put aside. It was never intended to build a new shelter.
No, yeah. I know that. Yeah, I just knew that we had already had money that they
that's
had
correct.
Put aside.
That's important to note, because now we're talking, you know, now the number shrinks further because that money's already there and put aside. We're talking a little over $1 million.
Sure.
From a county perspective. So, you know, in the real scheme of things, especially when major counties around us have spent $2.5 to $3 million to do what we're doing for less than two, mm-hmm. says a lot about the work that's gone into this project and being mindful of every penny counts.
Well, and I'd like to add real quick, you know, we, of course, from our standpoint of running the agency or running the shelter, we also listen to our customers, the people, the adopters, and the people who unfortunately might have to bring in pets or they find a stray and bring it in. They said, you know, we really think this feature might help. And we heard time and time again, please get an area that's separate from the kennel. So if I'm interested in a dog, I'm not in the middle of all the barking. I'm not getting a good feel of what this pet is like at all. So we really tried to incorporate.
You mean because they run over and jump on you and say, get me out of here.
You can't hear a thing. So we wanted to make it where adoption was more of a pleasant experience, and if you can get away and spend time with that animal and not make, then rather than take it home and go, wow, that is not what we thought this animal would be. So it's really to encourage adoptions and make them more sure that they stay at those homes they've been adopted.
Now, the adoption center, is that going to have kennels in it?
Oh, yeah, for dogs. Mm-hmm.
For the dogs that are up for adoption.
Correct.
And then on the other side, on the animal shelter side, you have those that are not up for adoption at this
point.
That's
correct. And let me speak to that. This is not double the amount of kennels that we have. This is the same amount of kennels that we currently have in the system. Now, we're calling them adoption, you know, because the same amount of animals are going to be housed, whether they're in the adoption kennel or the shelter kennel or the isolation kennel as a new animal comes in so that health issues can be dealt with instead of spreading disease like happens today throughout the facility. But at the end of the day, the total count of the shelter, the animals' spaces, kennels, or cat storage room is in line with what we already have. I think that's important to note.
So you don't have more?
No, we have maybe two more dog because of the configuration and
it's to be able to separate.
Yeah.
You know, the aggressive from the pleasant from the well, we still have dogs and cats housed together in one building. So, in some of the cages, we have cats and dog kennels. So it's really hard apples to apples to say what that would translate to. But the number of animals we're not looking to house anymore.
And,
now,
and
are we
going to
have numbers go down? Do you think with the new, will we get numbers to go down?
I think it's going to go up at first. Anytime a new shelter opens, then people are like, "Oh, it's nicer. They'll all get nice homes. This is great."
That's, you mean people want to drop off more dogs?
Yeah. So
well, there's a reason not to do it, folks.
There.
Right there.
So when we see Gracie stepping up to the front door,
Hotel California here.
Yeah.
There you go.
The intent, Ann, is to reduce the amount of animals coming through there. Thus the spay and neuter clinic, thus the voucher system for low-cost spay and neutering, thus the community education aspect. Moving animals quicker through because we have a more adaptable, friendly environment so animals can get in and get out. We're going to be partnering with rescue groups in a much bigger way because a lot of the animals, ironically, says something about us in the South. We breed ourselves to more animals than we can handle, but the Northeast that have had more progressive laws and guidelines have a shortage of animals as a result. So most of these rescue groups take animals and ship them to the Northeast because there's a demand for them up there. So all of these factors are going to go in to reduce the number of animals over time, absolutely. So then when disaster strikes or anything happens, even though we have the same amount, I'm going to keep emphasizing that because I've heard from somebody else that's on the other side that we have redundancy. We don't have redundancy. It's the same amount of kennel spaces. We have them segregated properly as the way proper shelters with proper health and maintenance concerns are taken care of, but it's the same number. So, yes, we will at some point in time, it's like the hospital. You're working to put yourself out of business, believe it or not.
I haven't seen that from the hospital. I see the hospital keep getting bigger and bigger there, Jim.
Well, Ann, you know, I do sit on the hospital board. I must share with you that the hospital goes out of their way to do preventive. Today and in that world, all about preventive medicine.
Exactly. But, so. I mean, they just keep getting bigger and bigger. They do, right? Yes.
We got a great facility that serves seven counties here. I will die with my grave. I hope you hear that, Mr. Pfeiffer. I am right here. I have your back. That hospital is fabulous.
I'm Ann Eller right here on WCRS with Jim Medford and Karen Petty. Okay, so you believe that the shelter can be built for less.
Yes.
You believe that it will be much more efficient.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
And
our labor costs will drop.
Well, this was going to be my next question is, how is that going to affect your operating costs day in and day out, week in and week out, yearly? How is that going to affect your operating costs? And what is the largest cost that there is?
Well, the largest cost is still labor. Personnel to manage that, and it's due to the inefficiencies where we're dragging hoses across all over the place like we have today, where that will not exist. This design is
it's tight.
It's built on efficiency and reducing repetitive motion, and
so there'll be fewer people working
over time.
Well, let's be ignore that staff. What I want to speak to from a county standpoint, immediately, we'll be paying adoption staff. So they're going to see an immediate reduction in what they're paying for salaries because we are now adopting all the people who currently work at the adoption center. So from a taxpayer standpoint, definitely there will be an immediate change in that budget.
So, but will the Humane Society still receive, I don't know, right now, what is it, $400,000 a year?
We are approved for $400,000 through this budgetary year because nothing has changed. We're probably, the right thing to do would be to wait till we get in and make sure we understand what the true operational costs for utilities and everything are. But the intent, as Karen said, with the Humane Society taking on the adoption center and that aspect alone, those people that are part of the county funding will become under the Humane Society's direct pay and funding. So
okay, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. So you're saying that you're actually, even though the Humane Society will be running the animal shelter, correct? Mm-hmm. That there'll be more separation?
Yes, there'll be more direct cost accounting. There'll be more direct cost accounting.
Okay.
Because there'll be two separate facilities, even though it's under one roof. For today, it's the county shelter, and we're a contract manager.
Okay. So you'll be able to direct cost it. So would you see that futuristically, so the Humane Society will be responsible for the spay-neuter and the adoption center
Absolutely.
And the community room and
education.
Education.
Yep. And we are, and Karen's salary and whatnot is already a Humane Society.
So she's not paid by the county?
She's not paid by the county at all.
Okay.
But we will be taking on some of the other associates that are providing those duties today for the county on the contract will be directly under the Humane Society's funding of those bodies or those very important people that provide that unbelievable life-saving experience.
Right.
They will be directly paid and accounted for by the Humane Society's budget. So there will be a reduction felt in personnel.
Okay.
Pretty quickly. And other things, because of the efficiencies and layout,
mm-hmm.
while we may be repurpose employees to do other things, the county's portion of what they have to fund to operate that will also continue to reduce itself as well.
Okay. So futuristically, the budget that goes for the Humane Society to run the...
Should reduce over time.
Should reduce over time. Okay. All right. Well, we sure have answered a lot of questions here this afternoon, don't you think?
I do have one thing I'd like to say.
Okay.
Tonight at the American Legion, there's mm-hmm. a group called Concerned Citizens for a Better Government. And the one individual who's been totally opposed to doing anything is speaking at that tonight at 6:30. We would encourage all the listeners that want to be able to ask, what is your logic for this, to show up at the American Legion tonight at 6:30 to hear this person speak. I'm going to be there. Karen's
okay.
going to be there. And hopefully many others will be there as well.
Well, all righty then. So that's at the American Legion.
American Legion.
All right. Coming up at what, 6:30?
Because we are concerned citizens for a better government ourselves.
I think a lot of people are concerned about it.
Yes.
And, you know, and I think when you have an issue, one of the best things you can do
is
talk it out and get all sides of opinions and then let the chips fall where they may.
Let everybody make their own decision as far as what makes sense. And I'm confident that what we have said here today, what we have done for 2 years, especially with the county helping drive this train as well, we have done something that makes good common sense, not only up front from a cost standpoint, but more importantly, from an ongoing cost, but also from an ongoing, how do we deal with this issue to reduce it and change the dichotomy that we're dealing with today?
Absolutely. So here you go. These are the points. Now, if they want more information, Karen, you have some on your website, on your Facebook page. Do you have more information like the design and everything?
It's actually been on Greenwood today. Is the pictures have been posted. And then I put it on Facebook last night when we were promoting that we would be here today.
Okay. So people can look at that. Now, what if people have questions, Jim? Should they talk to you?
Yeah.
Should they talk to Karen? Should they?
Either one
of us. I'm happy to put out my cell phone on the air.
Oh, my God.
It is 1-900. No, it's 864-942-923.
He's giving my number.
864-923-1952. I would welcome any listener, anybody that wants to call, and I would be happy to answer the questions to the best of my ability. But I have been intimately involved in this process for the last 2 years, and as far as the project as it stands today. And Karen?
923-1952.
1952, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we are talking here with Karen Petty and Jim Medford. You do have, just to wind this up, talking about fundraising for the new building and everything. Wagoween is coming up on the 30th, correct?
Correct.
October. I guess you're expecting people to come in costumes.
They are. It would be encouraged, strongly encouraged. You do not have to, but you might stand out not being dressed up.
Okay. All right. And if you're feeling rather doggy, just go ahead and go as a dog. And if you're feeling like kind of kitten-y, go as a kitten. There
Put
you go.
Put a sheet over your head with cut-out holes. That'll work.
It should be a great night because there's a live band, there's games, there's free food, there's adult beverages for purchase. It is a, I'll tell you what, the committee of the Humane Society that put this together, and that's Sherry Sullivan and Martha Barnett and Dean Vadden and
Marianne Wilson.
Marianne Wilson.
Carolyn Kelly. Yeah. Phyllis McGee. Carolyn Bell. Cheryl Bell. I'm sorry. I'm going to forget
Donna
somebody.
Donna Boyajian.
Oh, gosh, yes. Donna. Jeez. Right. Sorry, yeah. Donna.
So you've got quite a group that are working and putting this together.
They have put their heart and soul and hours into planning. This will be a great night. So we encourage everybody to come because it also, all the proceeds go to benefit this new shelter being built. And we're going to have the shelter designs on display. This is actually our kickoff for the capital campaign to make this happen.
Absolutely. So tickets are $40 per person, $75 per couple, and you need to bring some money with you because you're going to spend it there, right?
Oh, yeah.
We have some opportunities when you get there.
Okay.
Yes.
So there'll be some opportunities for that, so make sure. Now, this is from 7 to 10. Now, how do people get tickets, Karen?
They can go online to our website, www.gwdhumanesociety.org. They can pay at the door. Then they can buy them at the adoption center there at the shelter. Also, Cafe 312, Allegra, looking at Upside Down. Oh, Greenwood Chamber, of course.
Uptown Wine.
Flynn's, yep. On Maxwell.
And I guess the Lynx is probably selling them too, aren't they?
I was just going to say, the Lynx at the Stony Point.
Yes. And we will be happy to give you a free beverage with the purchase of a ticket at the Lynx at Stony Point.
That's okay. Where I'm going to get my ticket.
Okay. Well, you're trying to get the most ticket sales, aren't you, Jim?
I'm in it to win it.
Yeah, never say Jim Medford isn't competitive here now, folks. He is all about winning. In fact, Sunday you're going to have your event out there. That would be a perfect opportunity to get your ticket.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We may throw that in as an incentive, man.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, we have a big event out there, open house for everybody to come out and enjoy the links on us, lunch and a round of golf and hear what and see what we have to be a part of our family and probably get a free ticket to Wagga Wing.
Oh, I'm telling you, you are stacking the deck there.
We're in it to win it.
Well, Jim, I hope this has been good for you to be able to talk about all the different issues here today.
Yeah, and we thank you, Ann, because we want to make sure that the public is truly informed because there's been a lot of miscommunication about a lot of things out there. And really, when you have a group as dedicated with four from the county council that I have the utmost respect for, really do, they do a great job. And the independent people that have agreed to join us, Bob Brewer and Tom Woodruff and Karen and her staff, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this. And, you know, they're working tirelessly day in and day out and 100-degree temperatures or pouring rain or sub-zero weather to take care of these animals. And, you know, you can't say enough about the staff at the Humane Society. So they have to do all of that and help this committee understand how best to correct some of the opportunities we have with the current shelter, building the new one. So,
now, what type of time frame are we looking at? When will it go out for bid?
We're hoping that the bid package will be completed by the end of the year, so they go out at the first of the year, allowing for, I forget what the county's procedure is because it's a county bid process. It goes out. I believe there's either a 30 or 60-day time frame before they come back in. When they come back in, our committee will sit and look at and review the bids, which, again, is four people from the county and our committee. And then we will then select what we think is the best option, most competitive one, and that goes back to the county council for final approval of the exact dollar amount. And so, God willing, this is all done by March or April, so we're flipping dirt and starting this thing in May or June.
Wow. So how long a building process do you think?
Normally I think 6 to 8 months for something like this. So
by the end of the year?
On an ideal basis, by the end of next year, we'll be in there. If not, it would be right after the end of the year in early 2017, if it's not done by year end 2016.
Okay. So we'll still need blankets, Gracie.
Right. Well, you know, she's got Gracie's closet. She'll be supplying
blankets.
I guess
I'll lose my office for Gracie's closet.
Don't you think that's a fun idea?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. It really is awesome.
Tell Gracie she's a genius.
It kind of fits her personality. Uh-huh. She likes the little extras, mm-hmm. you know, in life. That's right. Hey, listen, I hope you enjoyed the show here today. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact Karen Petty with the Humane Society or Jim Medford, advisor and man about town right here in Greenwood, doing all these good things. I'm Ann Eller. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.